The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with the assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to The Musketeers. I'm Francis, and this show coming to you from Mochiweka Studio here at Fresh FM, your community radio station. We interview people on topics of interest within our community. Welcome to The Musketeers. Today we have Kev, a program maker with Fresh FM. What inspired you to start your show?
Yeah, good morning, Francis, and thank you for the valued opportunity. In this, in the radio land, we can do what we need to do and enjoy giving out the information. It goes back a wee while. I was in the energy industry in Australia. I actually got a private investigator's license out of Mochiweka and went to Oz. Found that hanging out of trees looking for people to committing baddies was not my go. But I thought energy I might redirect my energies elsewhere. So I became an accredited energy assessor with the Federal Government of Australia, that Department of Climate Change. And the Australian government are really ahead of the game. So what they were doing was to focus on getting people attuned to the fact that we need to be energy efficient. It's all good and well trying to just create more energy. It's got to be cheaper, brighter, fuller. But the problem is, if we don't address the consumption point of view, then it's not going to work well. It's a bit like a bath. It's no use having a hole in the bottom of the bath and keep filling it up with hot water, because it's not going to achieve anything. So the idea is to stop the drain of the energy. And what we did was we insulated houses around the country, because insulation is about 17% of your power bill. Not to talk about the fact that you are warmer, brighter homes, which is what New Zealand are all about. And I recently had the wonderful experience of re-insulating my home, and I just happened to bump into the community house people. They were having a seminar here with the TDC, and I learnt through seminars, is what I do, now, is that if you're in TDC Mochiweka area, you come at a code 13, which is government sponsored insulation. So our house, when we bought it in 2002, was insulated, but over time, of course, things degradate, and it was a paper system, and it got less and less effective, and we got colder and colder. But long story short, out of the $5,000 bill, we only paid $500, and the New Zealand government, through ECHO, which is Energy Efficiency Climate Authority, paid the rest. So now, together with my solar, which I'll talk about later if you want me to, is that we've got a really well insulated home. We've got a wetback on our fire, so we're, you know, happy chaps. So back to where we came from, I then went into the solar industry, selling solar systems, and this little monkey on my shoulder kept saying to me, but how do you monitor what you've got? Because people are installing solar left, right and centre in Australia, which we'll discuss down the track. It was just like Rafferty's rules. There was people running amok with solar, but not monitoring what happened. And one of my clients asked me to put solar in for him, which we did. And 3 months later, he phoned me up and said, Kevin, I want you to take the system off the roof. It doesn't work. Well, lo and behold, that's got to be the worst carpet rug pull ever. But I do remember saying to Rob Berker, Rob, we need to put in a solar monitoring system so that you can maintain a check on it. And push come to shove, we found out that the installer had not connected half the system. So that's why his power bill wasn't working. So long and short of it is, I said, it's one thing being a voice in the wilderness, you know, that you're one-on-one. How can I get better at what I'm doing? And having done a Fresh FM show way back in the 80s, I think it was 89, 90, on bartering, I realised that back to Fresh I come. So Fresh and Frankie it was. So Fresh quite kindly accepted my application to do what is called heaps more energy. So the question is, we're in a position of being able to give people heaps more ideas on getting heaps more energy. And we're on Monday morning at 9:30 on Fresh FM, 104.8, or just stream on live all the time. It's really good to go. And I cover energy efficiency, climate change, and what's doable daily. So it's the what's doable daily that's important for all of us, because we can do it whether we've got solar or not.
You've interviewed many people on the topic of energy. Who would you say were your most interesting?
Thanks for that, Francis. Yes, it's quite important to be able to get industry knowledge from the outside. And one of the earlier interviews I did was with the gentleman by the name of Vinod, who was a Solar Zero man. He was the spokesman of the company, and I have had a Solar Zero system on my roof for nearly 6 years now. And the important part is that whilst the Solar Zero platform, which was a management company, it had the responsibility to deliver all the benefits and the promises, it unfortunately went to the wall, and that has got nothing to do with the efficacy of the Solar Zero system, which means, in fact, that if you go forward on this one, the National Government and Labor Government are now on parallel tracks coming to the election, but not on the same train. There's a difference here. So we've got two steam trains going hell for leather to get over the line. And unfortunately, it's a bipartisan approach to solar, but separated by the protocols of political interference in between. Okay, so Vinod gave us the run through that what Solar Zero is about is to be able to not have to pay up front for the solar. So imagine if you came to an EV car and you're thinking, wow, I'd love to have that MG EV, but $32,000 is going to be a big chunk of change and I can't do it right now. So I actually arrived back from Australia in 2016. So I was sitting at Nelson Airport and I saw this sign come up, Solar Zero, zero installation, zero capital cost and zero problems. And I looked at this and I thought, I don't believe what I see here. So I stayed a wee while, and that I put my name down in the beginning. I was one of the first adopters, and long story short, in 2020 I got a solar system worth $25,000 and I didn't have to put one red cent up front. That's like too good to be true. It's like buying that EV and you walk out the showroom door. How it worked was the likes of Sir Stephen Tindall and the KW1 Fund and Westpac formed an alliance where Westpac became the underwriter. So in financial terms, it means that they underwrote the promise that the people could take up solar. So because I've got a good credit rating, they accepted that. I signed a 20-year contract to have a fixed flat fee for solar. Now, the importance here is that this has ramifications for what the National and the Labor government are going to be doing, which we can talk about a little later, where you don't have to have capital up front. You get the benefits of solar straight away. The carbon footprint model for each solar system installed is quite high, and I'll discuss that. In fact, I'll go down to it right now. So on my solar system, I have an average of about 5 trees a year that I save, and I have a contract with Ecotricity, which is a 100% renewable energy company. So in fact, my house is totally carbon free. So if we start multiplying that out by the number of houses that are potentially able to be solarized through the model that Solar Zero started, and now that the National and or, well, not National and, but one of the governments will form a party in November, and they are committed as a party platform to make solar available to many people. So a little bit down the track, we'll talk about that one. So Vinod was a strong protagonist. The other gentleman that spoke so eloquently was a solar designer by the name of Rhys Coffin. And Rhys is a solar engineer, designer, and he is a director of a company called Power Station. And Power Station is an off-grid solar company. So there's off-grid and off-the-grid. There's a subtle difference between the two, but a very professional man. They are doing an installation for a client of mine in Princess Drive in Nelson shortly, so I can only talk to underscore what he's saying. That's solarking.co.nz or Power Station. Great thing. So I'll be having more to say about the way. So yeah, those are the two top names I can consider being able to direct solar. And also there's the SEANS, which is the Solar Energy, SEANZ, which is Solar Energy Alliance New Zealand, is very strong in terms of getting unbiased opinion about solar. For instance, I heard a skit on RNZ this morning, and I'm going to be putting in an objection with the Broadcasting Authority. It was probably the worst ham-fisted interview I've heard on solar, because it was, a lot of it was poppycock. So there's a lot of information out there. Go to the source, CIANS and or the direct ECA website, which is eeca.co.nz.
We're going to go on to a song break. What song would you like to play?
Oh, thank you very much. Not being much of a musician, but an appreciator of music, I'd like to parody a good friend of mine by the name of Terry Frater, and he has a little group called Magic Moments. So Terry was on one of my shows called Magic Moments in Mighty Motueka, Crying in the Rain with Terry and Linda.
I'll never let you see the way my broken heart is hurting me. I've got my pride and I know how to hide all my sorrow and pain. I'll do my crying in the rain. If I wait for cloudy skies, you won't know the rain from the tears in my eyes. You'll never know that I still love you so, though the heartaches remain. I'll do my crying in the rain. Raindrops falling from heaven could never wash away my misery. But since we're not together, I look for stormy weather to hide these tears I hope you'll never see. Someday when my crying's gone, I'm gonna wear a smile and walk in the sun. I may be a fool, but till then, darling, you'll never see me complain. I'll do my crying in the rain. I'll do my crying in the rain. I'll do my crying in the rain.
What a lovely song. We're going to move on to the new political announcements that we've just received. National is promising to bring a cheap solar panel loan, and Labour promises to do something very similar, just more comprehensive. What have you got to say about that?
Wow, that is a straight heads up on that one. Thank you for that, Francis. I'm going to go back a couple of steps. Because we have we collectively, in whether it's New Zealand or Australia, and New Zealand can learn from the Australian experience, subsidies on their own are fuel to the fire. I'm going to give you a personal experience. One of our family members in Australia put in a 1.5 kilowatt system, which is only 6 small wee panels, the minutest of inverters, and this is in New South Wales. That system today would cost less than $5,000. Back in the day, which is 2010, that system cost her $18,500. So where am I going with this? Well, the New South Wales government said, we'll be the best bunnies on the block and we will give an $8,000 subsidy for solar systems. So if you're going to be working of the maths out on the paper, all that's going to happen with subsidies is the solar installer is going to say, whoop-de-doo, happy days, I will add the cost of the subsidy to the system, and nobody will be able to be the wiser. So my mother-in-law's system would have only cost $10,000, not $18,500. Fast forward, rewind. In Queensland, the Bly government put in a, they said, we can't go that way, that's not happening. We'll put in a subsidy on export of your solar to the grid. So they put in a 44-cent kilowatt system, kilowatt hour, 44-cent a kilowatt hour export value. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know I can make money out of solar. So yes, it worked well, and the amount of installs that were being thrown at the table were off the planet. I talked about Rob Berker's system before. He was one of those people where installers would do four installs a day, and they would get off the roof in an hour and a half, come what may. So the installer I'm talking about in a beautiful property in Burleigh Heads didn't switch on half the system. And because he didn't have a monitoring platform, he'd only found out about that when he got the bill in the mail, and he blew up because he phoned me and said, take this rubbish off the roof. So what happened, in fact, I've got a client in Australia by the name of Graham Drew. Graham should be able to get the pension, but he's got three solar systems. One is a 20 kilowatt on his facility up in Toowoomba, and on that facility he earns more out of that facility now than the pension can pay him. So hereby hangs a tale. It oversold. It was almost about government's overreach. They do nothing for a long time. I mean, 6 years ago I had my Solar Zero system on the board, and there was next to nothing for solar. He had no good rebates at all. The export potential was low, and now all of a sudden it's the biggest thing at time. You know, 3-4 months out from an election, we have, like you said in the beginning, we got two competing policies. Well, this is like two steam trains going hell for leather for the same station, and guess what happened? There's only one line through the station. Somebody's going to come a cropper. So the cropper I'm referring to are subsidies. Do not work. Upfront subsidies are WAFTAMs. That's a waste of time. In fact, going back to New South Wales, they upped their export to 60 cents a kilowatt hour. I mean, it was just a total overkill. You'll hear on a morning report that I'm going to go to the Broadcasting Authority on is this business of giving subsidies for batteries. It's another way of just wasting taxpayers' money. However, having said all that, the strength between National and Labor, and I'm going to use the combination, is that we don't have a bipartisan approach to energy. The Onslow Power Scheme is the best thing for this country. It's pumped hydro. Meanwhile, back at home, everybody's got at least 180-litre water storage tank. That is your battery. Because what you're doing is you're taking power and putting into the battery, which is your solar water, and you're spreading it out over the time. Pumped hydro storage is the greatest thing on this country's radar, and in fact, it's going to come to fruition privately. National candidate, and they're going for this LPG carry-on, which is now, the war started again in the Middle East as of this morning, and we're going to see another clip of the ticket. Back to the Labor Party, what they're going to do is they're going to take part of the $60 million that was earmarked for that project and put it into their solar gain policy. So long and short of it is that, yes, the strength of the two policies are that if you're a ratepayer, homeowner, you can get onto the solar banner like I did without having to pay a capital outlay. That is the biggest advantage out. So watch this space, because it's going to happen. Unfortunately, the commercial solar industry will flatten out until the government get their act together. And I can just refer to here that the amount of electricians in the country are not there to service what's going to happen. And this is thousands of electricians already needed. That's Master Electricians Chief Executive Alexandra Rannick-Wicke said, agreed that the biggest challenge would be the workforce needed to deliver the policy. So in short, high subsidies, installers jump on the bandwagon, they cream the market, and they will go hell for leather to do systems. There'll be problems. So planet protectors out there, there are three types of people in the world: planet polluters, planet protectors, and planet promoters. So I'm the last bunny on the block, but I'm going to refer you to a blog which is called solarquotes.com.au, and there are installers that are leaving sites in a complete shambles.
broken panels, electrical conduiting all over the place, sign-off sheets not done, and the installation industry has a lot to answer for not complying with basic protocols of setting up a system so that the homeowner is not impacted. So, for instance, if something went wrong on an install and the DC current flow wasn't right and you had an earth fault alarm on the roof, you could have a system where you're going to have fire in panels. These things happen. They are parodied. There's history all over Australia about this. And if either the governments and or the government that gets in, they're going to need to have this sorted out beforehand. In fact, Megan Woods has said as much in her radio skit about this. She's confident about the $160 million being spent correctly. She did mention that there's going to be training needed to get installers up and running. So don't expect that this is going to happen anytime soon. Governments are locked into bureaucracy. There'll be many people on the block trying to make things work. So watch this space. But in the meantime, you can go and become a ecotricity provider solution and just use that money to become completely carbon free. So on to the next question, please.
Would you like to take another song break?
Absolutely.
What would you like to hear?
I'd like to hear Running by Gil Scott-Heron. Enjoy.
Because I always feel like running, not away. Because there's no such place. Because if there was, I would have found it by now. Because it's easier to run, easier than staying and finding out you're the only one who didn't run. Because running will be the way your life and mine will be described, as in the long run, or as in having given someone a run for his money, or as in running out of time, Because running makes me look like everyone else, though I hope there will never be cause for that. Because I will be running in the other direction, not running for cover. Because if I knew where cover was, I would stay there and never have to run for it. Because the thing I fear cannot be escaped, eluded, avoided, hidden from, protected from, gotten away from, not without showing the fear as I see it now. Because closer, clearer, no sir, nearer, because of you, and because of that nice, that you quietly, quickly be causing. Because I always feel like running. And because you're going to see me run soon, and because you're going to know why I'm running then, you'll know then, because I'm not going to tell you now. I always feel like running.
Were the new policies announced, would I be able to walk into a store and buy a solar system myself?
Great question, Francis. Great question, because this is where the parody and the problem lies. The paradigm is get solar, get it installed, do it now, and that sounds like a do it now question, because that overcomes the installation queries I've raised. There's a small problem. No system in New Zealand complies with the electrical Installation Act right now. So if you think you can go to Costco's in Auckland and or Woolworths in downtown Motueka and pick up a little wee solar panel system, say, cool, whippy-doo, I've got a couple of hours on Saturday, mate, I'll take it home, you know, set it up and plug it in. Well, it ain't going to happen anytime soon. And there are going to be a number of electrical compliance issues applied to that. Essentially, it overseas, because of a different electrical regime, the renters in high-rise apartments can put, say, three panels in front of the building, take the lead back and plug it into the wall. It requires a single point of entry. It can be done, but it can't go over the whole house, because all we've got is now the possibility of excess solar going through to the grid via an unplatformed system. So not being an electrician, but I do know the downside effects of this, you can't just go and do that right now. So it's a great election ploy, but it ain't going to happen anytime soon. You need to know that your insurance company is going to be really interested in what you do around your electrical connection. So it's like saying, well, what I'll do is I'll just plug my car into the house and fire it up and I'll be able to charge my battery. No, not going to happen. It'll just void your insurance policy. So really there are a number of overarching requirements that people can keep in mind that, yes, it's a lovely feeling to go down, but it's not going to happen for a fair while yet. And practically, you want to have an installation that's going to be grid-tied connected so that you can have the ability to stay connected to the grid and not just rely on batteries. And by the way, batteries are a fantastic asset. On my system, my draw in a day would be, say, 54% from the solar, 39% from the battery pack, and 10% from the grid on a good solar day. So, and it'll kick in and out all day. This particular party on RNZ this morning said it's only for nighttime use, which is absolute rubbish. So you need to get down and dirty on batteries. They are fantastic systems. I've had no problem with mine. I've got a battery backup, which is really where it's all about. I think in the 6 years I've had my system, we've had 7 or 8 outages. The particular one that just really comes to mind is when in High Street, the old tobacco sheds burned down. I hear the lady across the road, 10 o'clock at night, I hear this knock on the door. Doo-doo-doo, Murder Acre, what's happening here? So I go to the front door, and there's Denise. Why are your lights on? I say, because they are. I said, oh, she didn't want to know that. Actually, I'd forgotten about my battery backup, so I went to the hall light, and I switched it on, and it didn't come on. I thought, of course, I've got a battery backup for my main lights, my internet, and my fridge. Happy days. That's what it's about. It's about solar being a resilient feature in your whole energy makeup. So Heaps More Energy is about getting a total holistic approach to energy storage, energy climate change efficiency, and what can you do daily to make it better. Get on the likes of LED lights. Go to the ECA, ECCA, Energy Efficiency Climate Authority, and download the cheat sheet. It is fantastic. It'll tell you how much you'll save by just having a cold wash. It'll tell you how much you're going to save on small things. I mean, like, it's all about what to do daily. We're all in this paradigm where, it's a big wide world out there and I only have to do one thing and I wash my hands. No, it isn't. You have to do lots of little things, like white bait. Lots of white bait make up a big meal. You're not going to just have one white bait on your sandwich. So I'll leave it at that, if that makes any sense. I hope I've been of help.
Since you've been on solar, has it been of value?
Francis, thank you for that question. I've just popped onto my platform, and it's 11:36 on Thursday, and we've got some sun back in our mighty Motueka. I am totally off the grid right now. Da-da-da-da, grid-free. My house is drawing 0.68 kilowatts an hour. My panels are producing 1.38, and I'm charging my battery. Game over. So that happens all the time. And if I come down a little bit on my consumption, my battery level, let's look at performance. So this is what monitoring is all about. It's being able to maintain in five-minute timelines what's happening. So right now, I have had 19% on solar today, 28% on battery, just multiply the numbers, and 4-5% on grid. If you look at the whole thing in terms of wrap up, in my best year, I've saved four trees being planted. I've energy saving of $161.87 in the year. Now, subtly, when your solar gets installed, you want to source your solar to be able to price to your panels. That's it. Enjoy. Solar's the way to go. Have a great day. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks Bye. For coming in. It was lovely having you here.
Thank you.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.co.nz, for our contact details.